pastor at Mount Gilead, served a Baptist church near Wrightsville. I told him, don't worry about the clock. So if you got any stones to throw, throw them at me. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Clayton. It is such a joy to be here. I've enjoyed the meeting immensely throughout the meeting, and certainly what's gone before has been spot on and been such a great, great blessing. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. We live in a world of perpetual change, but God and his word remain the same. I would like to direct your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter 56, and would title the message, What Time I Am Afraid, I Will Trust in Thee. And I want to say to all of you, and especially to the young people of this congregation, you children, it's so important that you memorize Scripture. Amen. And this is a Scripture that if you will put to your memory, it will help you throughout your youth and even as you get older and come down to the end of life itself. This passage will be such a rich blessing. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fear not. Somebody may be here today, some of these buff teenagers that go to the gym every day. I go to the gym most every day, but I'm not where you are today. But, you know, it's amazing, you know, you go get worked out and it's, you know, especially with guys, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, and it's sort of the man's temperament, really. I'm tough, I'm built this way, and there's nothing that I am afraid of. You ever been there like that, some of you guys? Well, back in Muhammad Ali's prime time, you know, he was a prize fighter, and he was flying from one place to another, and the flight attendant came by and told him, said, buckle up. And he replied, he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she replied to him, Superman don't need no airplane. So, there are no supermen. I don't care how old you are, how strong you are, there's something that you're afraid of. Life itself. And so here the psalmist certainly experienced that. And he began the psalm by saying, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, has already been taught this weekend and this morning, we live in difficult times. It's hard times. And, you know, sometimes we come down to these real hard places. But did you know it's when we come to the end of our rope, that's where the office of God is. When we come to the end of self, and it's only when we come to the end of self that we come to the beginning of grace. What a blessing that is. The psalmist, he certainly was in difficult times. He was in times of great trouble all around him. And later in this same passage, he talks about, he says, every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall thy escape by iniquity in thine anger cast down the people, O God? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. Now listen carefully. He says, this I know. If you don't remember anything else that's been said this weekend, remember this. He says, this I know, for God is for me. Did you know this morning God is for you? And if everybody in the world, if all your circumstances, if everything turns their back on you, and if it comes to a time you feel you had no one. I went to see a lady in a nursing home one time, and it was in this area, years ago. I went to see a lady in a nursing home, and she told me how many children she had. She said, I've got 8 children, and she said, they don't come to see me. She said, I have had all these surgeries, and look at what condition I'm in. She said, look what shape I am. And she said, even the church, they don't really see about me. And she said, Brother Kenneth, she said, it's come to a place that all I have is the Lord. I said, well, praise God. I mean, if everything else turns and you lose it all and the bottom drops out, God is for me.
Amen.
And if God be for us, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, shall peril, or sword? He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. And just to make sure he covered all the bases, he said, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love never changes. It is a perfect love, and perfect love casteth out fear. Did you know that God cannot love you any more than he loves you right now? He cannot love you any less than what he loves you right now. You may say, well, you don't know what I did last night. I don't care. His love is the same. He says here, he knows my wanderings. Oh, that love. He knows our wanderings. My friends, not only did we go astray in Adam, and that was the fall of mankind, and certainly we were included in that. But we go astray often in our life. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My friends, our sins were imputed to him. There is double imputation. Our sins were imputed to him, and his righteousness was imputed to us. All you have when you come down to the end of life and you stand before God, no matter what all the good things that can be said about you, and there's a place for that. Perhaps. I think sometimes that is embellished today, but I won't go there. But I don't care what all good things that could be said about you, the good traits you've had. Did you know that does not qualify you to enter into glory? The only thing that you have when you stand before God in that final day is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only thing that you need when you stand before God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends, today there is a better day. And we do, it's real, it's a real place. Right. And one day the battles of this life will be over. But we live in this world and we do wonder. But what keeps us? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Yeah. I've pastored long enough, and I'm still a young preacher. But I've pastored long enough, and I know people well enough, and y'all all look great. I mean, y'all are a wonderful looking group of people. And when I look out this morning, I would think that every one of you has it all together. That there's no problems here. Y'all are smiling for the most part, and you're awake for the most part. And I would say, you know, no problems here, and everybody here's got it together. I've lived long enough, preached long enough. I know that none of you have it all together. We're all a broken people living in a broken world, and thank God for Jesus. When I was a real, real young preacher, I thought, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change the church. I'm going to change my wife. I'm going to change my children. And I've lived long enough. I can't change my wife. I can't change my children. I can't change the church. I can't change myself. But thank God for Jesus. And my friends, today, what we need more than anything else is to know that that is enough. And even when we wander off, my friends, he never leaves us.
Amen.
One of the lessons in the New Testament is the occasion of the prodigal son. This young man, like so many people, he wandered off. And did you know he wanted to do life his way? And that's the way most of us are. I wanted to say the way we were, and I hope I can put that in past tense. But did you know from the very beginning of time, from the time of Adam, the sin underneath every sin is man wants to be his own God. I mean, that's the sin under every sin. Man wants to be his own God, and he doesn't want anybody telling him what to do. I'll do it my way. There was a state, I shouldn't say this, this is being taped. There was a very prominent person in politics, let me say it that way, that had asked me a number of years ago. He said, when I die, will you preach my funeral? And I said, yeah, I will. And he had even had me at the state capitol when he was in politics in our state. And but when he passed away, his family told me that this was the arrangement. I was to do his service, and there were some other political figures that were going to speak, but said, this is his request, that at his service, that the song, I Did It My Way, be played. Now, we were having this not at the church where I pastor, but it was at a large venue, a large church, and it was a place of worship. And I told the funeral directors and I told the family, I said, I don't have any problem with that being played, but not in the sanctuary. I said, if you want to play it at the cemetery, that's okay. I mean, I can tolerate that. So I let them have their way, but I did it my way. And I know you may be fond of that song, and I know there's a couple of ways of interpreting that song, but anyway, but it just brought back to my mind, that's the attitude of so many people today. I did it my way. And you know, we make a mess of life. Have you ever just gotten yourself into a mess? Yeah, most of us have at some point. You heard about the two construction workers they were on their lunch break, and one of them opened up his sack lunch, and he looked at it. He said, "Oh, again, bologna. Bologna sandwiches." He said, "I have had bologna sandwiches 3 days this week." And he said, "Oh, bologna." He said, I hate bologna." And his co-worker said, "Well, why didn't you get your wife to make you something else?" He said, "I'm not married." He said, "I made these sandwiches myself." Most of the mess in our life, we did it ourselves. Right? Even when we believe not, He abideth faithful. God is faithful. His love is faithful. This prodigal son, I won't go into the story for the sake of time, but you know, he came to a place that he wanted to have it his way, and he went to the far country, and he spent his wealth in riotous living. And he was there until he ran out of money. And you know, God knows how, in His providence, to bring us to the end of ourselves. I do a good bit of counseling, but I've learned through the years that with young and old alike, as long as the attitude is, "I don't fear anything, I've got it under control, don't tell me what to do," they're not going to listen to me. But I've been blessed to see God bring some to the end of themselves. And no matter how far you have wandered, and maybe I'm speaking to somebody today, you're running from your parents, you're running from your life, you're running from yourself, and maybe even running from God. But I'll tell you, one of the sweetest truths in the Bible is that we're sheep having gone astray. And He will leave, and I know all about farming. I had cattle, and you would think this is a poor cattle person or rancher that would leave 99 sheep and go after one that's gone astray. Anybody with any really business sense would say, "Well, just let that one go astray. Forget about him. Forget about her." And I've had people that come to my office, and really, I've had one guy, he'd been back and back, and he'd had addictions and been in prison. And he came to me one day, and he came to my office. He said, "Brother Kenneth, I know you're ready to give up on me." And I called his name. I said, "I will never give up on you." And I said, "Even if I were to, there is one that loves you that will never give up on you." Amen. And see, the thing is, what draws people back to God, it's not the law. It's not giving a list of rules of, "You better do this, you better do this, this is what's going to happen if you don't do this." My friends, the real conversion of the soul is when you see how deeply you are loved by God. Amen. When you see that there is no separation from that love. When this prodigal son came to the end of himself, he had to go home. And he just wanted to be treated like a hired servant. He didn't want to be like a son. He wanted to go back and work his way, basically. But the father was running toward him. And I want to tell you, these are two of the sweetest words in all the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It says, "But when he was a great way off," he was a great way off, "his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. Hear the two words. And kissed him. Have you ever felt the kiss of God? Has it ever been, you say, Lord, how in the world could you love such a sinner like me? And what's really drawn you back to him? Hasn't it been that kiss? True story. Man had a son that was very rebellious and really had sort of lost contact with him. He got a call from the sheriff's department, the law enforcement, and they said, your son is locked up. And the father got up and went to the jail in the middle of the night. He got there, and when he got there, they didn't have his son. And they said, your son's not here. So the father began to do some more inquiring, and somebody said, oh, he's up there at this house, and it's sort of it's just a party place. But the father went, and he came up on the porch, and they, no doubt, in this house, there was partying, they were drinking and carrying on the front, and he said to one of them, he says, he called his son's name, and he said, oh, he's in the back room. And the father went back there, and he saw his son just blacked out with drugs or drink or whatever, and the father leaned over, and he kissed him, and he left. That's a true story. Time went on, and the son came to himself and began to come back around home and began to see the family and came to holidays. And after a period of time, he was back in with his family and really living a good life. And the father one day asked the son, said, tell me, what has made the difference in your life? He said, Dad, you know that night when you got that call? He said, it was my buddies playing a prank on me and you. He said, I had not been arrested. And he said, you know when you came to this house and you came in that house and you came back? He said, Dad, I wasn't asleep. He said, I really wasn't passed out. He said, I really expected you to come in and kick me. He said, but you kissed me. And he said, that's made the difference. The kiss of God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Brother Marty spoke so ably today on the subject of faith. Oh, my friends, my faith falters. My faith many times. But the Bible says, when we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. And life is hard. I'm not going to tell you. I can explain it. I mean, there are troubles. I know right in this small congregation. I know you're weighted down with troubles and trials and heartaches. But the Bible tells us, and we know that we can find our rest in God. Did you know that little expression in some derivative, fear not, is found 365 times in the Bible, one for every day? So again, remember the subject, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Life is hard, but you can trust in God. Are you going to be able to explain it? No, so much we can't. But even in our brief time on this earth, and it is a brief time, I don't care how many years you have. Did you know, you can go out here. I was walking in the cemetery this morning and last night. And, you can look at a tombstone and it'll have the birth date and the death date. And all that separates it is the dash. You don't have much time on this earth. That's why Paul could say our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light afflictions. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. My friends, we're going to one day be with Jesus Christ, with all of the family of God, the teeming multitude out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Not one missing in that final day will be with Jesus Christ in a world that knows no sorrow, no sickness. We sing the hymn when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. How do you look at this life? The brother has been speaking so ably on perspective. What is your perspective today? How do you look at this life? A few years ago, there was a couple that had started attending our church. They never joined. He was 34, and I think she was about 30. He had been in the military. He was in physical condition. He ran and was, very strict about his diet, did everything just so much by how we ought to do. But one Sunday morning, they were going to an event, and he was a prankster. He liked to tease his wife, and he leaned over on the dash of the car, and she thought he was playing, and she called his name, and he didn't hold up, and then she realized something was bad wrong, and he died, 34 years old. And she called me, and she said, Brother Kenneth, will you preach his funeral? And I went down, and it was just so tragic, so sad. And I was talking with her. They just built a beautiful home. And she said, Brother Kenneth, she said, I just don't understand it. She said, we were so happily married, been married for 4 years. And we just built this new house, and we were just about ready to start our family and talking about that. And she said, there's so many people that are unhappy and miserable in marriage and life. And she said, I just don't understand it. Said, we would still go out on dates. If they've been married 4 years, she said, I'd go back there to the bedroom and I'd put on a particular outfit and I'd come out and Johnny would say to me, he would say, nah, you need to see that from where I'm standing. I said, Holly, I want to tell you something. I don't know the answers to the troubles and trials of life, but I can tell you this right now. Even though your heart is broken, and I don't minimize your grief, your sorrow, one bit, but if he could say anything to you right now, he would say, you need to see this from where I'm standing. That vertical perspective. And that's why no matter what trouble you're in today, no matter what the heartache is, you need to see it from God's perspective. And I said, the family met, we were about to go to the cemetery or to the church for the funeral, and I told them, this was the verse that I used, the one that I've used for my text and asked you to remember and put it on your mirror at home. And when my daughter was a teenager, I would go in her room and she'd have this on her mirror. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But we were standing there with the family and I said this to them. I said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I'll never forget this. The pastor goes on out early to get in his car to lead the family to the place for the funeral. And I walked on out, and this little boy came. It was one of the relatives. And he tugged on my coattail. He said, would you tell me that verse again? And I said, absolutely. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I thank you for your wonderful attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.